Hello, everybody. I am Rahim Saidi. One of the research directions that we are working in University of Eastern Finland is concentrated on new features for speaker recognition. It could be have a long history in our laboratory that we are working on, mainly Tomi Kinnunen working on new features, exploring the area of the new features for speaker recognition. Now, the current work is the application of some sort of features named weighted linear prediction features for speaker recognition. And our work is done jointly by a group of Paavo Alko in University of Helsinki, that nowadays they call it Aalto University. Let me just say that I'm not pretending that I know what is happening inside this weighted linear prediction. I'm just presenting on best of my understanding that what is weighted linear prediction. And from the group of authors here, I just have Tomi to help me if I cannot describe something to you. Then, to the concept, we have sometimes the customers, or let me say the users of a speaker recognition technology, that they want to use a speaker recognition when they are moving, when they are outside the office environment. But we also have some sort of other users of a speaker recognition technology that they want to use it in any environment, in highly additive noise environment in the street, or let me say traffic noise, whatever. They are not in office environment or very controlled environment of a speech recording. Then we are interested to know how our speaker recognition systems could be degraded in performance by having this type of additive noise. Well, just to describe that, what is our effort concentrated here is a typical speaker recognition system has different phases and different modules, but our effort in this study is to see that how feature extraction could affect speaker recognition, overall speaker recognition performance. How typically we are doing feature extraction is that we have windowed frames, we do a spectrum estimation, having the MFCCs, do rest of filtering, appending deltas, double deltas, frame dropping according to energy, and Kepstra mean and variance normalization. This is something typical. We say 36-dimensional feature vectors that we had in our experiments, but this is just based on 12 MFCCs that we had. Then, now the question is that is really, we are all the time using FFT to estimate the spectrum, but if it is really the best way that we can do it? Or another question is that, is it really that much robust in additive noise condition? Then going to the LP, it is something quite known that estimating the spectrum could be done by linear prediction or FFT estimation. And they are, just alternate model, alternate ways to estimate the spectrum. Nobody says that LP is better for speaker recognition or FFT is better for speaker recognition or even any other speech processing applications. And now we are trying to say that what is the performance of FFT, LP, and now introducing VLP. The VLP is just targeted to pay more stress on some regions of speech that they have more energy. Here we have we are weighting the energy of error by a weighting function. And where the weighting function comes from is that we are computing the. We are computing the weighting function as the immediate energy of the signal before the current sample, something like m samples before the current sample, and put it as the weighting function where we are estimating the error of the current sample based on the previous samples. In this way, it's possible to, again, set the derivatives of the weights with respect to the estimator coefficient to zero and lead to normal Yule-Welker equations and find the weights of the predictor. And It is maybe the history comes to 1975, and after that it again activated in 1993, the weighted linear prediction. But let's say why we are choosing the STE, short time energy, for weighting function of the VLP. It comes to be true that the regions of a speech that they have higher energy, they are less contaminated with additive noise. And it is some sort of the fact that it is known we can have better estimation of the spectrum in the regions of the speech that they are less corrupted by noise, and these regions of the speech have higher short-time energy. It corresponds also to the regions, when we are talking the regions of the speech that they are higher short-time energy, it also corresponds to the regions that our glottal folds are closed, and the subglottal system is disconnected from the speech production system. And in this phase, we have some standing waves inside our glottal folds, where if we want to compute the formants of the speech signal, we can have more prominent formant estimation of the speech signal. Well, now what is the problem with VLP? Normal LP equations somehow guaranteed to lead to a stable filter when we are predicting the coefficients of the predictor. Now the problem with VLP is that it is not guaranteed to lead to a stable filter, and this is a problem in speech synthesis, for example. Now what we can do is that instead of using some sort of weighting function, we can decompose it to partial weights and apply it in this way to the estimator of the current sample. And in this way, we can lead to such equations that they are derived in the paper of the Maggie, and they describe the behavior of the total weights, these weights, in the way that the final estimator coefficients should be in such a way that lead to the stable filter. Well, I am not still understanding completely what is happening here, but in this paper they totally described it. But for more reference, please, you can refer to that paper. Well, here I'm depicting a frame, a spectrum estimation of a voiced frame from NIST 2002 SRE, and somehow the same frame that we contaminated with factory noise with 0 dB SNR. It is, let me say, obvious that when we are doing the spectrum estimation of the noisy signal, there are some problems that it is mainly caused by the noise signal, and how it affects, it depends on the SNR level, it depends on the noise type. This is just a sample. And to give just more intuition what is 0 dB factory noise, I have here the speech files, just a piece of a speech files that we draw this frame from those speech files.
They knew Littleton, Kentucky, they knew. Their parents knew they had weapons. They looked the other way. They did that 3 months ago, I believe, 3 or 4 months ago in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. They sent the parents to jail.
Yeah, it was a clean sample from NIST 2002 test set.
They knew Littleton, Kentucky, they knew. Their parents knew they had weapons. They looked the other way.
And the same piece that we contaminated with 0 dB additive noise, well, factory. Well, now it shows that what is really meant by 0 dB SNR here.
They knew Littleton, Kentucky, they knew their parents.
Yeah. Going to some results of the after four spectrum estimation methods that we are talking about, on NIST 2002 core task, we had non-core task, some other type of speaker detections, and using factory noise and 0 dB SNR. Here we can see that the methods mainly grouped into two methods, FFT and LP, and the weighted LP group, VLP itself and SVLP. Here, I should mention that NIST 2002 is a database collected in mobile handsets mainly, and it includes inside convolutional noise and some additive noise, although we are adding additive noise by ourselves. Here we can see that there is really some difference between the performance of these features in additive noise environment. We also tried one very famous speech enhancement method on as it's just some additive block in our feature extraction to see what is really one simple speech enhancement method could help a speaker recognition system in additive noise environment. And looking at the results, it shows that yes, there is some good improvement based on having a speech enhancement or let me say spectral subtraction in our system. But these results, although they are too much different, but I should say that our noise is stationary here, where in the real world it is not really the case. Coming to some more recent data set, we were curious to see that if these results from NIST 2002 generalized to NIST 2008 and maybe NIST 2010, because we were one of the legs of I4U for submission to NIST 2010 SRE, and this was our base system, I mean the contribution of our University of Eastern Finland was trying some new features on for speaker recognition. Looking at the results, let me say just somehow have them grouped. The system here is Gaussian square vector with NAP, and the condition is 8 conv 10 seconds. If you ask me why 8 conv 10 seconds you selected for evaluation, because I was working on non-core tasks for speaker recognition, and this was something, it has some match with NIST 2002, and I selected here for the presentation. But if we look at the other core tasks also, they have the same interpretation. Looking at the results without NAP, it says that the SVLP based results, they are improving the DET curve in all the areas. If I can read the results correct, in mean DCF and equal error rate, SVLP is improving compared to the MFCC. Here the red curves are for males, the blues are for females, and the green one is for, let me say, the old trials, males and females. Coming to the results with NAP, the effect of using the SVLP was to somehow rotating the DET curve in some sense, because mean DCF got improved a bit, but equal error rate got a bit worse. But if you ask why it is happening, I have no idea right now, because we just applied it, plugged in this SVLP, and we tried to study the effects. But coming to the interpretation that why it happens, need more study on it. Well, I think, yes, this was the point that I want to stop. Thank you.
Okay, questions. We have our 4-question quota.
Just quick question about the signal-to-noise ratio you used on the slide number 13.
Number 13?
Yeah. You also had the audio. And you mentioned that performance was obtained through 0 dB.
Yes.
My question is, how did you measure the signal to noise ratio? Because when I heard audio, it sounded as if, maybe it's me, maybe other people may not agree with me. I thought I could catch more signal, so therefore maybe that's not 0 dB, maybe a little higher.
Do you mean 10 dB or minus 10 dB higher? Higher noise, you mean?
No, I mean, I thought the audio you displayed that you called 0 dB sounded as if the signal was a little stronger than, 0 dB situation.
Well, because I was suspected that somebody will ask how to add noise, I put exactly the MATLAB code here.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I can interpret here that we are measuring the energy of every frame in the speech signal and averaging them over the signal and over the noise and putting off the SNR, SNR here to have the gain, and then mix the audio signal together, the noise and audio signal together with the gain that we have as average SNR.
So you are measuring signal to noise ratio by using intensity rather than amplitude over there?
Yeah, we are framing the signal and measuring the energy of the frames and averaging them over the signal and finding the relative gain between the noise and the signal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The leading question, if you go back to slide 12, it looks like,
I don't see any difference in these two plots.
What type of difference do you expect to see?
Well, if it's noisy, I expect that the spectrum will be sort of flattened and filled in with noise. I mean, this looks sort of like a vowel spectrum.
Yeah, as I said, it depends on the noise, because this is the noise that we use here, it is factory noise. And this frame, it just has this type of behavior. We just selected one frame. The effect of noise is not the same for all frames. Maybe you are right, because as we expect, by increasing the noise level, the spectrum gets flat and more flat, and we are losing the information in the spectrum. But this is just some typical example to show how it works.
Any other questions? Two more questions? Do we have it in us?
Let me give one more interpretation that we use this SVLP in conjunction with MFCC and other features in I4U submission. It means that we somehow evaluated our system for SVLP features, and then having the scores for this subsystem, they fused it with other subsystems in I4U, and they gained good, fusion gain having this type of system that they are somehow providing a bit different type of scores for speaker recognition.
I guess one of the assumptions for your model is that the lower energy observations in your signal tend to be less reliable, right?
Less reliable, yeah, they could, because as the energy of the noise increasing, they could be really just covered by the noise.
I guess the other side of the debate is also if you've got the situation where you're getting distortions because of overdriving the channel, for example, then it may be the case where the signal is actually quite high and you get clipping. That may be another indicator to say reduce the importance of the higher energy observations.
Well, in this case, you are right. We don't know exactly what will happen if signal is clipped by channel, by audio recording device, or whatever. This experiment's just somehow done with the assumption that audio signal is not clipped. But if you ask me what will happen if the audio signal is clipped, I will say that I think FFT spectrum, LP spectrum, they all get affected in the same way that VLP or SVLP get affected.
Rahim, thank you very much.